on the banks of the Great River, high above the Alluric Gorge. This is the Buzzard Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insights, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast, to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, Shay here, on Air Indie. Welcome and enjoy episode 13, first music history boil down for February 16th. American singer, songwriter, actress, and activist Leslie Gore died of lung cancer today in 2015 at age 68. She is best known for the Quincy Jones 1963 U.S. number one and U.K. number nine single, It's My Party. In 2005, they arrested Kid Rock for allegedly punching a DJ at a strip club in Nashville, Tennessee. Rock escaped from the club, yet shortly after, the police pulled him over. The officer got an autograph, but did not do a breath test despite smelling alcohol. Yep, they fired the officer. Hits today? In 1967, Petula Clark's This Is My Song was number one on the UK singles chart, the singer's second and last UK number one. Bob Dylan started a four-week run today in 1974 with the Planet Waves album. It hit number one on the US album chart and was his first US number one. Born in the USA, saw Bruce Springsteen earn his first UK number one album. It went to number one on the UK album chart in 1985. Today, we have LA-based Danish songwriter, record and mixer, Rune Westberg. His work has earned a Latin Grammy nomination and featured in Grey's Anatomy, The Rookie, Riverdale, and ABC's network promo, Pride and Solidarity. In 2018, Rune signed a publishing deal with Pure Pop Music, resulting in an exclusive worldwide co-publishing deal joint venture with Angry Mob Music Group. We are chatting about what producers and songwriters actually do with a look at the behind the scenes, what the role of producer-songwriter brings to an artist, and the collaboration process. Welcome, Rune. Thank you for joining our pod chat.
Thank you for having me.
So, I'd like to know about your background. What's your musical background?
Well, I come from old school rock and roll background. I was a guitar player since a very early age, and I never really was interested in actually learning how to play the guitar. I was just interested in getting into a band. So, I spent all my early youth in through high school playing in bands, and I actually got signed with my first rock band in Denmark when I was in high school. So I went straight from high school out to recording and touring. And then my career sort of took a number of different tracks at the same time, because I have always been writing music and I've always been playing music live, but I've also always been interested in the technical side of recording and producing. So I was always the guy in the band that had all the equipment and could record the demos. And so at some point I built a studio in Copenhagen, where I come from. I was born in Denmark, and I built a studio, started recording for other people. And I even at some point went in and trained as a tape op in a bigger studio and learned how to work, you know, all the buttons of a recording studio. And then from there, I've sort of been both an engineer, a producer, a mixer, a songwriter, a musician. I've even been a solo artist a couple of times also, and I've been in bands. And so it's taken me sort of a long route to get to where I am today, where my main focus is writing songs and producing those same songs I write. I no longer produce songs that I haven't written. For me, that the process is kind of turned into one process at this point.
So the ones you're producing right now are the back catalog?
No, what I'm producing right now is I am only producing new songs that I write. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Okay. And the music you put out, listening to some of it, like Echoes de Amour, Outlaws of Love by Alvin Lambert. I love Bang Bang Boom Boom by Beth Hart. I love it. I like saved it. Yeah.
Beth is like one of my oldest collaborators. We've been working together for, over 15 years now. So I've always been, her career and my career have sort of been intermingled for many years. And we come back every time she's working on a new record, we come back and write together. And she's a wonderful, wonderful artist.
Yeah, I see that there's a lot out there with her, Beth mm-hmm. Hart. And also another one of my favorites was Six String Soldier by Joe Brooks.
Oh, Joe's great. He's a British artist. He's a wonderful guy. Really cool.
So, and also your own music, Death Okay. Love that. love that. It was really easy listening. I love that. I was listening to it last night. Very rich vocals. So you're all round and you've, you can do it all. And you chose to be in the back end.
Well, yes, that was a choice. You mentioned a song from my solo record that I put out in about 20 years ago, I think. That putting out that solo record was just something I needed to do for myself. And it was one of the most miserable things I've ever gone through in my life.
Why?
Because I was, I wrote the whole thing on my own. I recorded the whole thing on my own. And then when it was done, I did all the promo and press and everything on my own, and I even went out touring alone, and it was just such a miserably lonely experience, the whole thing. And it actually made me I made a decision around 20 years ago when I put that record out. After the whole thing went down, I promised myself I would never make music alone again, and I actually have not ever since have I made music alone. I always collaborate now, because that experience just showed me that that's where I get my real energy and my real drive from, is from making music with other people. Music is a collective thing. Music is communication, and it's something for me anyway. It's something that I need to do with other people. It's a way for me to connect with other people. And I just, doing it alone just is not right for me. But it took me many years to figure that out. I had to go through a lot before I realized that, you know, the real joy in making music for me comes from making music with other people.
So collaborating is what you like to do, and you're definitely successful at it. Can we chat about some of the co-writes and collaborations that stand out to you?
For sure. I mean, again, it's I'd like to talk about someone like Beth Hart, for instance, who I've been working with for so many years. She doesn't really collaborate with anybody but me. I'm the only person she co-writes with. And because she writes most of her, I mean, she writes 100% songs. She writes her own material, except for the songs that I write with her. And she's a very strong and a very particular personality. And the fact that I have been able to gain her trust is the reason I can write with her. Writing songs together requires a huge deal of trust. You have to feel safe. And someone like Beth has a very hard time feeling safe around anybody. She has experienced a lot in her life, and she's experienced a lot of loss and a lot of trauma, and she doesn't really trust anybody. And it took me years to get to a point with her where she would trust me enough to actually dig into writing the important songs. And that's really what my job is. My job is to be sort of somewhere between a, you know, a a shrink and a engineer and sort of a engine room worker and a cheerleader, and then also an inspiration, right? I need for the artist to feel completely safe around me and to feel like they can share anything with me and to feel like that it's kind of like my office is my office. Everything that stays, that comes into my office stays here, except it comes out as a song, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, it's at that point, it's gone through an artistic filter and nobody knows. I mean, we know what the songs are about, us that wrote the songs, but the general audience does not know the specifics. So it doesn't really matter, you know, but still the process of writing them requires a huge amount of trust for the artist to actually share a story that is important enough that it's worth writing a song about.
So building that trust is key to putting out great music. Sometimes a song completely evolve into something completely different through that process of gaining that trust or hearing that story?
Yes. I mean, songs, I mean, I'm a big believer in the process of creating that you have to, for me, I rarely prepare for sessions in meaning that I don't have sort of half finished or, you know, almost finished ideas prepared for sessions. For me, it's more important to stay completely open and completely focused once I'm in the situation. We usually a song will, you know, the core or the idea or the sort of story of a song will usually come within the first couple of hours. And if you're not ready mentally to see it and grab it while it's there, it's going to disappear. So it's always like the most important thing for me is to be 100% present while I have the artist in the room or while the space is open for a song to be born. That's when you need to be 100% present, because it only happens in a very, very short window of time. And if you're not there and if you're not ready, it's not going to come, or it might come and you don't catch it. If one party in the situation is not 100% present and 100% ready and able and willing to go with what happens, then nothing's going to happen.
Do you feel that an independent artist has more license for creativity in songwriting than somebody that's signed?
Not really. I mean, being a great artist is about being a brave, courageous person. It's about being, it's about having the courage to write, make the art that you want to make. And if you don't have that courage and you're not making the art you want to make, then it doesn't matter if you're signed or not signed. That doesn't make the difference. Those things are not, I mean, the fact, who puts out your music after it's been made is kind of, is doesn't have anything to do with the music. I mean, you as an artist, you can make whatever you want. That's your artistic choice. That's your artistic freedom. Whatever you make, if somebody thinks they can make money on what you make, they will try and sell it. But if you're the kind of artist that tries to make something other people like, you're not an artist in my book.
That's the reason I asked the question. Thank you for answering it. So what's your working style? Like, when talking about the process, you talked a bit about connection with the artists and stuff like that. Is there anything else in terms of your working style when you meet an artist or re-collaborate or get together for a song? Like, is there anything you want to talk about?
I think I mean, for me, there's I've always considered myself a musical partner for people. And again, this is also why I think I've sort of taught myself so many different things. I want to be able to help in the musical process. I want to be part of creating great music, whether I'm, you know, recording or mixing or playing or writing the lyrics or the melodies or the, I don't really care. What matters to me is that I'm a part of it. And what matters to me is that I serve the art and the artist in the best possible way. And part of that is to keep my own sort of personality traits out of the equation, in the sense that I always like to say, if people can tell it's a song I have written and produced, then I've done something wrong. That means I've gotten in the way of the unique expression of the artist. And that's something I strive to never do.
So what general neighborhood do you live in? Like, when I was listening to the music, I saw quite a lot of different styles of music. Like, do you have a favorite? Is there something that you focus on more, or is it dependent upon the artist and what they want?
It's for me, this whole idea of genre is artificial. I don't operate with genre in the way that they're for me, a song is a story, and a song is and the music is sort of the setting, the scenery you built around that song, around that story. And whether it's an acoustic guitar or a piano or a drum beat or a keyboard or whatever it is, those choices are stylistic choices you make, but they're also, for me, that I don't operate in genres. I don't have any preference genre. I do know that when I'm writing with a certain artist, I have to somehow stylistically make a song fit within the realm of what they come from and what they have done previously. And that's so that a lot of times that will sort of, you know, decide the instrumentation for me. Like, if somebody comes from a country music background, it would be weird to put really hardcore urban beats behind them. And it would also scare their personalities away. There's usually a reason why an artist is in sort of a certain mood of music. It's usually because that's where they feel the most comfortable. So I try to sort of be somewhere in the perimeter of where the artist wants to be, but I don't like to be stylistically clean. I always find it boring to be completely stylistically sort of pure. I always like to throw a little curveball in there. But I'm not very stylistically, you know, I'm not genre sort of defined. Personally, I like everything, as long as it has a good lyric and a good melody, and as long as there's a story that's being told. As long as I feel there's somebody trying to tell me something, that's a good song to me. And I don't care if it's an acoustic guitar or if it's I really don't care.
I agree with you. There's actually some artists have been crossing over, like rap stars putting out some of Aerosmith covers, and a lot of the hip hop are putting out Latin influenced music. So I actually see that the style of music pigeonholing may kind of open up. That's just my thought as a fan and listening to music. Myself, I'll listen to everything. If it's just like you said, if it's a good song and a good story, and also if it fits the artist, to be honest with you, But that comes from what you said, that writing music that fits with what they have, their space that they've been in the past.
Yeah, and also, like, artists are, you can tell when an artist is trying to actually talk to you. And that's the only thing that really matters to me. I mean, I if I hear somebody who's trying to talk to me, who's trying to tell me something, I don't care if it's a Latin beat or a urban beat or a country song or whatever. If somebody's trying to tell me something, I'll listen. And that's what good music is to me.
Do you have a typical tracking process, like do you play live or all together or one instrument at a time, or just depend on the song? And also the time of the state of the affairs of the world.
I mean, I've the last many, many years I have been producing alone. So I basically do all my, I'm also like, I play most instruments. So I just basically track everything here in my studio, and I spend a lot of time playing around with things, just playing around with song. Many songs I end up doing multiple versions of them because sometimes I'm not sure where they want to go. And so that's the advantage of having, I mean, I have my studio here in my guest house at my house, and I spend a lot of time just playing around in here, just playing with sounds and instruments and just experimenting with the songs I have. And sometimes I'll take up old songs that I've already produced and I'll make new versions of them and just remix them and re-record them. And because music is it's for playing. You play around, right? It's fun.
Yeah, it would be. you'd probably be a joy to work with. You talk about how strong listening and hearing the artist is. What other qualities does a great producer have?
I think knowing when things are right, is knowing when to stop. Like that's a very, very, probably the most important thing for a producer to have, is to, because the artist is never going to be, confident. It's very, very rare you have an artist that goes, this is it. This is where it's at. This is where I sound great. That's my job as a producer. When the artist wants to keep going and just go, no, this is it. This is it right there. That take, that vocal, that line. That's it. Trust me. That's it. Otherwise, most artists will keep going eternally and never stop, because it's never 100% right, and it never will be. But the artist will keep going a lot of times. It's my experience. And that's why my job is to say, no, stop right there. That, what you just did right there, that's
so
it.
End game.
I'm the one that says, that's it. Done.
And do you ever have any backlash from an artist? Or do they usually, if you're working with them on a regular basis or earn their trust, I'm sure that's part of the process they give up to you.
I mean, for sure. I mean, that part, I mean, collaborations that last, again, for a long time require a great deal of trust. It also requires to not, you don't overstep the boundaries, right? To a certain extent, I mean, the artist is always the boss. The artist is always the boss. It's not me. I'm just the producer, and I'm there to help them. I can say I prefer this, I like this, but at the end of the day, I don't make the call. But I have to get to a position of trust where they trust me when I say this is the best version of it. So, but if they don't trust me, my job is pointless. Because then it doesn't matter what I say, right? If I try to force them to trust me, it also becomes pointless, because then it becomes about me and not about them. So again, it's about trust. It's about having that, relationship with an artist where they know that they are in charge, but they also trust that I know what I'm doing and that I'm making the right decisions. And my decisions are only based on my love for the music and my love for making this the best it possibly can be, right?
Yeah, you had said to me when we did a pre-chat that the artist is central. Basically, that's what we're talking about here. It's the focus on the artists and foster their creativity. How do you foster their creativity in a recording session?
Well, I challenge them to do things that they probably don't. I challenge them to do things that they probably wouldn't do on their own. Again, this is me being, I'm the catalyst of their talent. And so whatever I can inspire them to do that they are otherwise wouldn't do is my biggest contribution. A lot of times it comes in vocal, producing vocals is, in my book, one of the most important things in my job is to inspire people, singers, to sing in a authentic and believable voice is the most important thing in my job in terms of making the artist, other than writing the songs, but in terms of the recording process, it's the actual vocal recording. And I found it is, over the years, I found that, again, that it comes down to people feeling safe and secure and feeling that my space here in my studio is completely safe. I always record vocals here at home in my studio. Even if I have recorded in other studios, music parts, I always do the vocals here because they are at my home. And because I never use a vocal booth. I always make sure the artist is right next to me when we're singing, because it's about creating an environment where the artist feels safe to just go for it. And there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to worry about. All that you cannot fuck up. And that's where I feel that people get the best performances.
Thank you for that. Could you talk a bit about the exclusive international deal working with Pure Pop Music and Angry Mob Music?
I've been working with Patrick from Pure Pop for many years now, and we've been at a couple of different publishing setups. But for me, the most important thing is to be with, these are small boutique setups. And what's important for me is that people care about the music and they care about what I do and they're interested in it. I've been with major label publishers before and found that people look at numbers a lot and it's really boring. I rather take less money and have somebody who's actually interested in allowing me to write the kind of music I want to write and not just looking at how every title I deliver performs in terms of numbers, but also, is it actually a good song? And what is interesting here? What's going on here musically? And I that's what I've always found in Patrick, and he's a great musical partner. He has great respect for music, and he has great respect for music creators, and that's one of the things I really treasure in my publishing partners.
He's had quite an outstanding career.
Absolutely, yes.
You also have a side project. I don't know if that's the right term for it, but it's called the Rune Project. What's the history behind that and what's that all about?
Well, it that project actually started as a more like a, actually as a frustration, because I write so many songs and I produce so many songs over a year, and most of them never are released. So I have this backlog and this catalog of songs that I just love. And at some point a couple of years ago, I decided that there are some of the songs that I just can't have sitting around anymore. I want to put them out. So I said, why not just put them out under a project name and have them feature the artists that I wrote them with? And so I started releasing songs that I had lying around, just featuring the artists that originally wrote it with and that are singing them. And that's the Rune Project. And it's something my plan is to keep doing that, because it's fun. And it's like an outlet for me to put out songs that for some reason or another never ended up on anybody else's records. Then I'm just going to put them on my own.
And the people that you worked with on that project and co-written with are?
There's a bunch of different people, and there's going to be many more. Most of them are independent artists, because it's a lot easier to clear rights with independent artists than it is with signed artists. So that's again, these are fun times for people like me who can both produce and record, and because today we can just release music. It doesn't cost anything, and it's 10 years ago it was immensely costly to release music, because you actually had to print CDs and God knows what. And today you don't have to do anything. You just have to press upload, and then there you are. You're on Spotify and Apple and whatnot, and people can actually go listen to your music. It's very exciting for me. For me, these are very exciting times.
Yeah, it has helped music in a way with technology advances and platforms such as Spotify and that. And I know there's a bit of a hiccups and issues that keep going in the press, but overall, don't you feel there's been a real positive for independence?
I feel it's been very positive. I feel it's super exciting, because there's so much new music out there, and there's so much possibility for people to get their stuff out there, and for new stuff to be discovered. I feel it's very, very exciting. I mean, there's obviously huge problems with, the systems are not fairly distributing the music to people, but we all know those things are built into the systems, and the majors are still owning everything. And as a songwriter myself, we are being awfully underpaid in this whole system, and the labels are definitely taking way too much for themselves. But all those things aside, just the fact that everybody can put out music, and as a music producer and as a music maker, I can put out any music I want, and it is instantly accessible to the whole world. And as a music lover, I can access basically all music in the whole entire world on my laptop or on my phone. It's magical to me. It's really, really, really fantastic.
Yeah, it is magical, and I spend hours a day listening to music of independent artists from around the world, and I'm blown away with some of the talent out there, and I think it's a great thing. So do you have any future projects that you're working on that you can talk about right now?
I mean, I have a ton of different projects. I'm super excited about some artists that I'm working with right now. Michael Baywood, his project Baywood is one of my favorite projects right now. And a local singer, Jessica Childress here from LA, who's a fantastic voice. We just released an EP not that long ago. Desi Valentine, another local artist that I'm working with a lot. These are all independent artists that I'm super excited about working with right now. And those are some of the projects that we're going to hear more from in the new year.
Oh, that's great. You know, isn't Baywood was an artist that you did that, you put out a song in a couple of versions, or I think it was three versions.
Yeah, we did three. Some of his songs. Yeah.
An acoustic and a Nashville mix. The song title's not coming to me right now. Maybe when I was there then?
We Don't Have to Walk Alone. That one. That's yeah, we did it. Multiple yeah. versions of that. Again, that song could work in any arrangement. It doesn't really matter much if it's one or the other. The message of the song and sort of the core of the song goes through any kind of, you know, stylistic genre or whatever you want to wrap it in.
Yeah, it's an amazing song. It was well written and well recorded and produced. Thank you. It's one of my favorites. So I'd like to thank you so much for coming on and spending time with us and giving us a background and sort of a inside look into what it takes to work with artists and produce and the whole concept of it. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
No, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on.
Okay, thank you, Rune. Have an excellent night.
You too.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. Next episode is February the 18th. Montreal folk artist Sweet Roger joins us. His 2017 debut album, You'll Always Have Yourself, saw the track Loon Lake earn a nomination in the Toronto Independent Music Awards for Best Folk Roots Song. Sweet Roger's second album releases this year. We will chat and hear the first track, Pay Me, and the January release, Comeback. His new material is edgy and provocative, with that audible swagger that is both scrappy and sympathetic. So catch you at the pod on February the 18th on Air Indie, from my pad to yours over the airwaves. Subscribe fees at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.